You're listening to a guy who really knows his sports.
Yeah, right. A little bit of NFL football.
It's time to talk.
Time to talk.
It's time to talk with Tyler.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Time to Talk with Tyler here on International Sports Network. Today we'll be doing a college football preview for the 2022-2023 college football season. We'll be going conference by conference, going over most of the teams, and we'll be going all the way from the American to the Sun Belt, so every single Division I college football team, all 131, and we'll touch on the top 25 of the SEC. But let's get started right away with the American Conference, a conference that in 2 years' time will be missing its top three powerhouse schools, Houston, Cincinnati, and UCF, all moving to the Big 12 to join BYU in the move to replace Oklahoma and Texas, who are moving over to the SEC. A lot of changes going on in college football conferencing over the next few years, so this will be one of the last year of all the conferences as we know them. Right now, but let's start in the ACC for now, led by last year's college football playoff semifinalist Cincinnati. They're returning with their all-conference offensive line and their three playmakers on both sides of the ball who received All-American Conference last year. Though in the bad part, they're going to have to replace their quarterback Desmond Ridder, who has gone to the NFL to the Falcons. The quarterback led this team for all four seasons while at Cincinnati, and they will need to find his replacement very soon. For right now, Evan Prater looks to be the guy to take the job, the sophomore, but he is going to have some competition with Eastern Michigan transfer Ben Bryant, who passed for 3,000 yards in his season at Eastern Michigan. So it's going to be a quarterback competition in camp this year at Cincinnati, which could cause for some issues on offense when they're not getting all first-team reps from their starting quarterback. Second, we're going to touch on Houston. Plenty of offensive weapons for them. Quarterback Clayton Tune to return to the offense. Though all of their offensive linemen and their two top quarterbacks are all needed to be replaced after graduating last year or moving on to the NFL. So they will not have to face Cincinnati or UFC in the regular season, which could see the Cougars returning to the title game in the American Conference November 26th. Then the final team, which will be moving to the Big 12, Houston. They have plenty of experience on both sides of the ball returning, though they did lose top quarterback Dylan Gabriel in a transfer to Oklahoma, who will be filling in for Caleb Williams, who left for USC, but we'll touch on him and Lincoln Riley's move later. So that will hurt them in the title fight, and they do have to face Cincinnati at Cincinnati, so it could be a struggle for them this season. They're hoping to get back to the conference championship game, but doesn't seem like it could. Then there's SMU, led by quarterback Tanner Morgeko, and a strong defensive line. Though there's a lot of inexperience in the secondary and on the offensive line, so they could lose the battle in the trenches on offense. And the Mustangs, with Mordecai at the helm, could contend, but the defense will definitely need to improve and stop giving up big plays, as last season they struggled with quarterbacks who could air the ball out, just throwing balls right through their cornerbacks and safeties. Then there's Memphis, led by returning freshman All-American Seth Hennigan at quarterback. He leads an offense surrounded by good wide receiving talent and good talent in the backfield. Particularly, some of those better players are including Eddie Lewis, Jaden Ivory, and Rodriguez Clark. Then there's East Carolina coming off a strong season last year with a bowl game, which ended up being canceled. They're in the Military Bowl against Boston College. That game canceled due to COVID. They're led by returning quarterback Holton Ahlers, the senior, so it'll be his last run at it for them this year before they'll have to make their replacement. Last year, he threw for 3,126 yards with a total of 18 touchdowns and he rushed for 6 more. He definitely has a lot of experience at quarterback now going into his third season leading the Pirates. The defense made huge strides last year and hoping to make another boost in the right direction. They're led by Miles Berry and Malik Fleming, two starting returners, along with Elijah Morris and Rick D'Albo on the line. Moving on now to the next team, the Tulane Green Wave. Tulane will be having its third offensive coordinator. The team will be led by returning senior Michael Pratt. He'll be having to lead this team before possibly going in. He does have another year of eligibility, so we could see him being a grad student and then playing for Tulane, though the non-conference schedule is much less challenging for them, which could allow for a possible sneak into a bowl bid. The Green Wave lost 5 games by a touchdown or less last season, so definitely could see an improvement on last year. Then we come to the Tulsa. The Golden Hurricane are riding a 4-game win streak off the end of last year, though they have to replace 6 starters on offense, which averaged 26.5 points per game last year. They're likely not to contend in the American, but a chance at a bowl game could definitely be on the coming. The Bulls of South Florida are led by a veteran offensive line that has played together for 3 seasons. They are a little undersized on defense, which has shown in the past. An improvement is likely, but contention is still a long way away. Finally, we come to Navy, where they have one of the top kickers in the all of college football, Bijan Nichols. So they will need to replace All-American linebacker Diego Fago, who was hurt last year on defense, which could have made a major impact this year. Likely a third straight losing season, though, for the Navy. Temple are predicted to come, according to my predictions, to come last in the American. They added Texas A&M transfer Devin Hubbard in the running game, but still a lot of struggle with the shortage of proven receivers. A new coach, Dan Dryden, brings optimism to the program, but an increase in wins is highly unlikely, as I project them to come last. Some big games for the conference, the big non-conference games to start off the season. East Carolina will be traveling to North Carolina State, NC State, for a matchup on September 3rd, along with Memphis, who will be traveling to Mississippi State, and Cincinnati, who will be playing Arkansas, with a prove it game for them to see if they're still up there as one of the top teams in the country. As now we'll move on to the ACC, once again to be most likely led by Clemson. Clemson, in my projections, are to come fourth in the American Coastal Conference. Though they'll start the season once again under junior quarterback DJ Uiagalelei. His second season last year, Uiagalelei had a struggle of a season passing for having a passer rating of 172 per game, which is 88th ranked nationally last year. He threw for 9 touchdowns to 10 interceptions. So Uiagalelei will need to improve off of last year if they want to improve and make it back to the college football playoff. They start the season against Georgia Tech at a neutral site game, though outside of that, the non-conference schedule is not highly competitive for them. They've also got Furman and Louisiana Tech, so if they can run the table in the ACC, a chance to get back to the college football playoff is highly possible under Dabo Sweeney, who looks to rejuvenate this Clemson program. After so many great seasons in a row, to drop off last year was a real issue for them, and they hope to rebound this year under a fairly new team, especially on the offensive side of the ball, though they have all except Michael Mayes are returning on the offensive line, and the defensive line all returning except Brian Breeses. So a more experienced team than usual for Clemson in the trenches, which means that they can hopefully win the battle in the trenches and allow their playmakers, Joseph Negueta and EJ Williams, to make plays on offense, along with Andrew Makuba and Jalen Phillips on defense. Moving on now to Miami, led by Tyler Van Dyke. Van Dyke looks to lead the Hurricanes to a good season for them, hopefully make it back to the ACC championship game. They spent $80 million to bring in Mario Cristobal to hopefully lead this Miami program back to the top. They've got a clash against Texas A&M September 17th to really prove if they are back to the Miami of old. They're going to hope to improve on last season where they had a struggle in the non-conference. With an easier non-conference schedule this year, Miami should look to be a much stronger side in the ACC. Now moving on to our next school, we have NC State. Their defense is looking really tough this year, and a healthy Devin Leary is a good thing. So the Wolfpack are going to need to head to Clemson, which could be an issue if they want to try and make it back to the ACC championship game. That's going to be a must-win game. They probably won't beat Clemson for 2 years in a row, but if they can get that game close, and hopefully they can win the game with more experience in the trenches. Wake Forest, led by Sam Hartman, is back to lead the offense. The Demon Deacons aren't physically ready to make it back to the ACC championship game, as they probably won't be able to compete with Clemson or NC State, though everything went the right way last year. And if they can stay healthy this season and some teams get some injury issues, we could definitely see Wake Forest pulling some upsets in the ACC. Next, we have Boston College, led by senior quarterback Phil Jurkovec. He will try and lead this BC team back to the promised land. Injuries last season plagued his season, where they started off very strong with that win against Missouri. Though important offensive linemen have left for the NFL, so a very young team in the trenches, which could cause some issues in their ground game. Injuries were a beast last year for Boston College, but if their injury lucks get better, I could definitely see them going higher than fourth in the Atlantic, maybe competing with a team like Wake Forest or NC State for that 2-3 spot. And they also host Clemson at home this year, so an upset possibility there could be on the cards. Next, we have Florida State, led by Mike Norvell, who had another great recruiting class this year, which has plenty of time to develop now. Though the offensive line still has not gotten to where it needs to be to compete with some of these ACC teams, which is just why I cannot see Florida State breaking from fifth place. Sixth in the Atlantic Conference, I got Louisville. Malik Cunningham is still around to make some big plays, though the defense isn't great, and other Atlantic teams are significantly tougher this year and have much better defenses. I think Louisville could be in for a long season this year if they can't get some things to go their way. Finally, in last place in the Atlantic, I see Syracuse. They have some standout defensive players, which will limit damage, but I just cannot see them scoring on offense. Dino Barbers looks like a coach who has run out of steam on offense, and I just don't think that they'll be able to score with some of these other ACC teams. I would pick them to finish third through fifth place teams in the division. It's difficult, but the last place team is definitely not a place that they would want to be. Potentially, if their defense could step up a little bit, I could see them jumping up to maybe around where Florida State is, but could not see them going any higher than that. To the Coastal Conference, where we have in second place, I have Virginia, led by Brennan Armstrong and Tony Elliott. It would be a winning combination on offense, but that defense is going to have some rough games, and it isn't going to fix quick. Where they also already have some injury issues going into the season. It could be an issue. Then in third place, we have Pitt, led by lots of talented skill position players, which will stabilize the offense. They start their non-conference season hosting the Tennessee Volunteers. A win there could really give themselves a great chance to go back to a bowl game this year and possibly compete to get back to a New Year's Six game. They'll be led by quarterback Kendon Slovis, who did not play well at USC in 2020 or 2021, but a fresh start at Pitt could see him become a promising quarterback. Fourth, I got North Carolina. Mac Brown can still recruit, but chronologically it's inconsistent and an erratic team with a ton of holes on defense. Last year, they had a big chance with Sam Howell at quarterback, but the team fell apart, and I just cannot see them improving this year. Next, we have Georgia Tech, who was last year's hard transition from the triple option. Jeff Collins, though, showed no signs of being able to execute transitions poorly, and Collins will be definitely battling for his job in 2022 if his team cannot improve. Finally, in last place in the Coastal Conference, it's Mike Elko's Duke. They've struggled in football over the last few years, and I just cannot see them gaining any momentum after those last two seasons, which have been absolute terrible for the Duke Blue Devils. The rebuild has a good chance of succeeding, but will need at least a few more years to even start to bring in some top talent. Moving on now from the ACC, we'll move on now to our next conference, which is the Big Ten. First place in the Big Ten, in my prediction, will be in the East, Ohio State. There's just two more seasons before the move of USC and UCLA to the Big Ten. So possibly the last chance for a few of these smaller teams in the West, such as Iowa, Purdue, Nebraska, to make their push to get to the Big Ten title game. We'll start in the East with number one, Ohio State. The offense should be great again with another season led by CJ Stroud at quarterback. He's also got Trayvon Henderson and Jackson Smith and at wide receiver, so they should be stacked on offense. The only issues for them might come in on defense with new defensive coordinator Jim Knowles. We'll see how the defense does, but likely another run at the Big Ten title for the Ohio State Buckeyes. Second in the East, I've got Michigan. Jim Harbaugh is back after playing around with the NFL. see if Michigan can make another run at the playoff. But last year's season led by running back Hassan Haskins. They do have the same quarterback back again, led by Shea Patterson. So we'll see if that experience comes through. Though he's might be in a bit of a quarter in a might be quarterback fight in training camp for the Wolverines as JJ McCarthy and Cade McNamara will fight it out to get that starting role for the Michigan Wolverines this season. Michigan last season had their season where they made it all the way to the college football semifinal before being blown out by Georgia. Similar to last season, they have an easier non-conference schedule with Colorado State, Hawaii, and Connecticut on their non-conference schedule. Though they will have to go to the Horseshoe this year at Ohio State November 26th. So that they're going to need to win out if they want to even give themselves a chance to fight there, because Ohio State likely will not drop any of those games. Though we'll see how the team does throughout the season. They will be hosting Penn State and their rivals, Michigan State. So hopefully they can pick up some wins for the Michigan State Wolverines. Next in the East will be Michigan State. They just gave up that big money to bring it back. Coach Mel Tucker gave him the big bucks. He's got 10 years at the helm. Starts right now with quarterback Peyton Thorne, who is sneaky good. And if Mel Tucker worked the transfer portal right, it could work. Though they've lost running back star Kenneth Walker to the NFL. He has the Spartans rolling, but I cannot see them getting above Michigan and Ohio State, especially since they're going to have to go to the Big House to face Michigan. I just don't think that they compete skillfully with Ohio State. Next is Penn State, led by James Franklin, who is back with a new contract, though they have no sort of run game, and the quarterback play is going to be a struggle on offense. They've gone 11-11 in the last 2 years, and this is going to be a big season for Penn State. They're going to have to go to Auburn early in the season, so they're going to need to pull off some early wins if they want to give themselves a chance at another fight in the Big Ten and give themselves some momentum. They start the season at Purdue. They also have to go to the Big House, and they do host Ohio State and Michigan State this season. So two big wins there and possible whiteout games could be huge for the Penn State. Next, we have number 5 in the East, Maryland. This is sort of where the drop-off comes, led by Talia Tagovailoa at quarterback. There should be plenty of weapons for him to work with, but there is absolutely no defense there in College Park. And they always have a chance for Maryland on offense, but the defense is always going to give up big points. So I do not think Maryland, even though they have a great offense, have the chance to score with teams such as Ohio State, such as Penn State even, who has a strong defense and a decent offense, as we've just gone over. So I think Maryland will be fighting in the 4th, 5th, 6th spot. Following them in number 6 in the Big Ten East, it's Indiana. I think there's only one way for them to go after last season's absolute debacle, but we'll see how they do this season. The defense has lost its swagger, and Tom Allen is taking matters into his own hands. So we'll see how that goes. Finally, last place in the East, in my opinion, will be Rutgers. Greg Schlag comes in with new talent, though the defense has always had issues, and the offense was absolutely abysmal in 2021, and I don't think there's any answers for them. The steep East Hill will make it a difficult program for them, but Ron Harper could make a little bit of a difference in some close games against struggling teams in the Big Ten, such as Illinois and Indiana. Moving on to the West, which will be, in my opinion, led by Wisconsin this year. As long as Jim Lanois is calling the defense, I think Wisconsin will be a tough team on defense. Graham Mertz is back to be a quarterback again, and he could definitely be a star. The Badgers should be contending this year again in the Big Ten West, and I think that they'll be the team to face off against Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game. Second, Iowa, in my opinion, they're led by Ferentz, who set the formula back in 1999. The don't bend, don't break D, which has gone 7-9 in his seasons at Iowa. Though there's no way Iowa can replace the offensive line led by center Tyler Lindenbaum. Though overall, the Iron could have a chance to contend again. They're going to need to pick up a win, though, against Wisconsin, which could be a struggle for them. And I don't know if they'll be able to keep up on defense or offensive side of the ball with Wisconsin. And I just can't see Iowa being able to compete in that one. They're going to have to go to Ohio State. They're going to have to go to Minnesota. They're going to have to go to Purdue. So this could be a struggle of a season for them. So they do get to host Wisconsin at Kinnick Stadium. Next, we have the Purdue Boilermakers led by quarterback returning for his sixth season, Aiden O'Connell. Quarterback play will definitely not be an issue for them, though he will need to cut down on picks from last season, as last year he threw way too many interceptions, turning over the ball too much, which caused Purdue to have a bit of a struggle for a season, losing close games to Minnesota and a close game to Ohio State, which much closer than the score decided last year. They're going to need to pick up wins, though, for Purdue's going to have to win games at Wisconsin, at Minnesota, and at Maryland to give themselves a chance to fight. Then we have Nebraska, who lost all of their games last season by 10 points or less. They had a net total last season among all of their games of plus 63, even when going 3-9. They're going to have Oklahoma come into town on Memorial Stadium. That's if they can pull off a win in that one, the momentum could be crazy going into an easier stretch of Indiana and Rutgers. They're going to be able to also, they're also going to be hosting Wisconsin this year, so they're going to have to travel to Iowa and Michigan to the Big House. So if they're going to have a chance to compete for Scott Frost's job, which could be up in the air after the season if there's another poor performance, Scott Frost could be out the door, and that time is ticking for him. Though they have a couple of key transfers, including quarterback Casey Thompson and Ochon Mathis. Then fifth in the West, I got Minnesota. The return of offensive coordinator Kirk Clacalora could be a huge help of getting the offense back on track, though both of offensive and defensive line need much improvement, and the quarterback play will also need to improve this season. PJ Fleck, though, being a coach is always a huge advantage with his interesting play calls and his trickery. This could definitely be a big season for the Minnesota Golden Gophers. In sixth, I have Northwestern. They had a good season just 2 years ago, though this offense and defense are both falling apart. Quarterback is a non-existent position for this team, and they're going to absolutely have a struggle fest this year. And if not for having Illinois in their conference, this could definitely be a last place year for them. Though they do have some favorable home matchups, including Ohio State and Purdue. Finally, in last place, Illinois. Make this one quick. They are not going to be able to compete in the Big Ten this year. Their team, led by Chase Brown, is not going to be efficient enough on offense or defensive side of the ball. And basically, the season could be all done for here. Brett Bielema had a bit of a strong few wins last season with that 9 overtime thriller against Penn State. So some lucky wins there last season, but this season, having to travel to Wisconsin, to Nebraska, to Michigan, will all be struggling. And the few games that they maybe have a chance of winning are at Northwestern and at Nebraska. So we'll see how they do for those games. Moving on now to our next conference, we'll be moving on to the Big 12 here, which will have a lot of changes coming in. There are two top teams, Oklahoma and Texas, looking to move out of town real quickly in just 2 or 3 years with the incoming BYU, Houston, Cincinnati, and UCF. They'll return to their number 12, which could be nice for them. Though Oklahoma's six-year reign ended as Big Ten champions last year when Oklahoma State in Stillwater took their game against OU. Oklahoma coach Lincoln Riley quickly after that game skipped town to go to USC, taking with them some of his top players, including quarterback Caleb Williams, though they do remain having wide receiver Marvin Mims, who's one of the top receivers in the Big Ten, along with including Eric Gray, a running back. They bring in new quarterback Dylan Gabriel, transfer from UCF, to start off the new era at Oklahoma. So my prediction for first in the Big 12 is going to be Oklahoma State, once again, led by senior quarterback Spencer Sanders. He's the best dual threat quarterback in the league, and if he can cut down on interceptions, that could be a team that could maybe even make a push to get to the college football playoffs this year. Oklahoma State's looking stacked on both sides of the ball. Their only issues could be with new defensive coordinator Derek Mason. If he is a struggle in the front seven, it could be an issue for Oklahoma State, especially when they have to travel to Oklahoma and when they have to travel to Baylor. Next, second, I have Oklahoma led by new head coach Brent Venables. As we just said, Lincoln Riley skipped town, took a few of the key players. Though Brent Venables has done a great job bringing in new players, new staff. He's really changed the culture at Oklahoma. He may be corny for sure, though he's had an absolute great start at Oklahoma. If you saw in the spring game, Marvin Mims, very electric. Dylan Gabriel had some great plays on offense. And the UCF transfer could definitely be a NFL prospect at some point. They're gonna be going to Texas this year. Though once again, it's at the Cotton Bowl. So their toughest away games on the season are probably at Texas Tech. So definitely a chance for Oklahoma to make it back to the college football playoff if they can pull off wins against Oklahoma State, wins against Baylor, which are both home games for the Oklahoma Sooners. Next, we have Baylor, the team last year who was just 1 yard away from going from winning the Big 12 championship. 4 stops on the goal line last year for Oklahoma State made them Big 12 champions. Baylor looking to come back to have another great season. It seems like the Bears have cracked the code with having some great offensive line play, recruiting in, and getting transfers. And in the trenches, they will definitely succeed. The only issue is maybe in some of the skill positions on defense. And productive running backs are going to need to improve this year. Though a tougher schedule, traveling to Oklahoma State and traveling to Oklahoma could cause some issue for the Bears. Next, we have Texas under second-year coach Steve Sarkisian, who has brought some big players in the transfer portal. Though Texas cannot drink the Kool-Aid yet, as this happens most seasons, and most times they fall off. They're going to need big quarterback play from Quinn Ewers and Bijan Robinson at running backs. Going to need to have another stellar season if they want to have a chance to compete for the Big 12 title. Next, Kansas State under new offensive coordinator Colin Klein. He promises an up-tempo offense for quarterback Adrian Martinez in the air raid from Nebraska, though he is very turnover prone, and that could cause Kansas State some games down the stretch. Next, number 6, I got Iowa State. This is sort of where we come to the part where these next few teams could be moved around. It's going to be a heavy lift for the Cyclones to replace so many offensive players, but they did a great job recruiting in the transfer portal, so we could see that. I see them coming 6th. That's why I put them above TCU. Very similar, led by Max Dungan and Chandler Morris. TCU has 2 talented quarterbacks also, so whichever one wins out the fight there will definitely be able to perform. And if one's on the struggle bus, the other one could definitely come in and pick up some of the slack. Though they are under a new coach this season, Sonny Dykes, in his first season, and in his 2 previous Power 5 jobs, he had losing records, so we'll see how the transition goes for the Horned Frogs. Next, we have West Virginia, who are attracted some talented players from programs such as Clemson and Florida. The new Neil Brown will probably won't see a season with 5-plus wins this year for the Mountaineers if they can't win more games. He definitely is on the hot seat if they don't make a bowl game. Next, we got Texas Tech, led by new coach John McGuire, another new coach with a lot of college experience. Though, we'll see what he does here, as he has limited experience coaching in Power 5. He's been sort of stuck around in the Conference USA, Sun Belt, and with some lower-level teams. Texas Tech will likely start off 1-4, and then we'll see how they can get there. And they're going to try and have to – it'll be hard-pressed for them to get to 4 wins, and a bowl game seems out of reach for them, especially with that tough start where they got West Virginia, Houston, Duke, and Iowa State. Then they're going to have to try and find some momentum to play against their rivals, TCU. And then they got Oklahoma in Norman. So it could be a tough season for them. Finally, and last, we got Kansas Jayhawks, who once again will probably be hard-pressed to find a win in the Big 12, most likely to go winless this season. Maybe they could pull off an upset against a team such as the Texas Tech, or just like their upset somewhere like last year at their overtime thriller where they were able to take down Texas. We'll see, though, how the season goes for Kansas, led by Coach Lance Leopold in his second season. Now moving on to Conference USA. Conference USA is had a lot of changes, losing a few teams. They will add the current FCS member Jacksonville State and current Independence Liberty in New Mexico State. So that when they will lose Charlotte, Florida Atlantic, North Texas, Rice, UAB, and UTSA, who will all depart for the American Conference, which will be replaced by those teams I've just stayed along with Sam Houston, who will join the season after that, as they would like to finish up their contract with current FCS conference. First place will likely be the soon-to-be departed UTSA, led by quarterback Frank Harris, who will return with his top 3 receivers. Sincere McCormick, though, is gone, and many injuries could cause some issues at running back position. A repeat of the 12-2 season is most likely to be is probably unlikely, though we'll see how they do this year, and they can probably make another strong run for the title. Next, we'll move on to UAB, led by top receiver Trey Shopsier, who removed himself from the transfer portal just before spring ball began to return to UAB, though Andrew Montier will not return, which leaves a huge hole on the defensive side of the ball. The Blazers are looking at a position to challenge UTSA for the conference title this year, though I just cannot see UAB pulling off that victory in the conference championship game this year. Though maybe if they can manage to come first in the conference, pulling off a win against UTSA in the regular season, they could pull off a home victory to win Conference USA in their last season before leaving. Next, I got Western Kentucky coming third. They'll be led by Jarrett Dodd, who arrives with the departure of Bailey Zappe, the record-setting Western Kentucky quarterback. Wide receivers Jaron Smith and Mitchell Tisley are gone, along with defensive rear D'Angelo Malone. So it'll likely be a drop-off season for the Hilltoppers. It will probably not challenge and take a step backward on offense, though a step forward on defense could keep them in that contention. In fourth, I have FAU's Nicozi Perry will welcome back his two favorite targets, Latasse Wester and Jaquan Burton. Though the Owls go into 2022 after losing their final four games last year, which brought them out of postseason contention, some key losses on defense could leave them short of contention again. Though down the stretch, if they can pick up some wins, they could definitely be in contention for another bowl game. Next, in fifth, I got North Texas, led by veteran running back Corps getting deeper with the addition of Missouri transfer Jay McAlpin. Returning quarterbacks Austin Ahn and Jake Ritter have great accuracy, but some issues with forcing the ball into tight pockets could cause them some issues, and developing a consistent passing game, which would make the Mean Green much meaner. Middle Tennessee, led by quarterback depth, give the Blue Raiders a solid nucleus to build around. The cornerback Quincy Riley's transfer leaves a massive hole in the secondary. Surviving that first half of the schedule would be crucial if they want a repeat bowl trip. In sixth, I've got UTEP, led by transfers, which have filled nicely to argue in a long list of returning starters, though a trip to Oklahoma early in the season could cause some issues in the schedule. The Miners have a shot at their first back-to-back winning season since 2004-2005 and will look to make that come through. In eighth, I have Louisiana Tech. The Bulldogs have a renewed enthusiasm under first-year coach Sonny Crumble. The quarterback, though, is a position that remains open entering fall camp, which is always an issue for teams in mid-major conferences. Crumble's going to need some time to get the Bulldogs back into contention, and likely a bowl game will not be a possibility. Ninth, I have Rice, led by quarterback TJ McMone, and then Willie Green is looking to step up as well at quarterback. Wide receivers Jake Bailey entering the transfer portal was a huge loss, though improving on a 4-8 season is vital for Mike Bloomingbird's to keep his coaching status. 10th, I have Charlotte, led by veterans Chris Reynolds, who has a buffet of wide receiver targets to throw to. He dipped his hand in the transfer portal earlier this season, though process of run defense now must rebuild itself. The 49ers are looking at a potential 1-4 start to the season, and recovering probably won't be easy, so a bowl game does not look on the cards for this season. Tyrese Chambers is the all-conference caliber wide receiver and might be the only bright spot in an FIU team, which has struggled for seasons on end now. FIU is looking for a great last season in Conference USA before they're moving on to the American Conference, though I cannot see them picking up any wins this season outside of maybe Bryant and Texas State, who they lost to in overtime last season. They have a game against UConn at home, which could also be a chance for a win for them against another struggling team in college football, but I can't even see them pulling off a victory against a team such as UConn. Moving on to the MAC conference, a mid-major conference with a little bit more stability than some others, led by probably first in the East, Miami. They have tons of talent back on offense, including QB1 Brett Gabbert. Though graduation and transfers have hit the defense very hard, and though the conference schedule is favorable and with a down division, a chance to return to the MAC conference championship game could be on the cards, though they have to start out visiting Kentucky, so that could be a rough start to the season for them, along with hosting Western Michigan later in the season. Could it be two of their toughest games of the season? Second in the East, I have Buffalo, a slew of talent arrives via the transfer portal. Those 7 road games among their first 10 will test the team, and they could definitely take themselves right out of contention in the first few weeks of the season, which is the only way I could see Buffalo falling down in the Eastern Conference, in the Eastern Division. Third, I have Kent State. Their quarterback, Reggie Lewis, has elected to stay to help build towards another sustained successful season, though it's tough to bet against them with the loss of Crum is irreplaceable. Success hinges on the transfers, but a drop in wins is most likely an outcome for Kent State, and I cannot see them having a chance to fight for the East Division title. Fifth, I have Ohio, which is led by Curtis Rucker, who's ready to become a standout player. If the Bobcats can find their identity in year two of the Albine era, they maybe have a chance to push for another bowl game, though the odds look too stacked against them for a rebound year. Finally, last in the East Division, I have Akron. They hired the right coach for the program to run a great offense, though the defense is going to struggle, and Moorhead is likely to walk a delicate line between transfers and prep recruits. First place in the West Division, I have Toledo, which are led by Deegan Finn, the budding star quarterback. Though there are some tougher games, mostly on the road, which could come down if they have more close losses like they did last season, a chance that the West Division title could slip through their hands again. Second, I have Northern Illinois, led by quarterback Rocky Lombardi, who is among a deep group of returnees. A group of experience could definitely have Northern Illinois rolling in the right direction, and a chance at a conference championship game is definitely a possibility. Third, I have Central Michigan, led by running back Lou Nichols, who is one of the best young players in the country. Though the loss of numerous high-level players and leaders to graduation could surprise them, could come as a surprise to teams in the West, as they could possibly fall or crawl back up the standings of the West Division. Fourth, I have Eastern Michigan, who has plenty of talent returning on offense, mainly on the lot and at receiver, though the uncertainty at quarterback could really lower the ceiling for the Eagles, and it's going to be tough to bet against them, though, with Coach Chris Creighton back for another season. Fifth, I have Western Michigan, which are led by several talented returnees at offensive line and linebacker. It's going to be tough to replace Caleb Eby at running back and receiver Sky Moore, though the grueling September schedule could be difficult to overcome for a young team such as Western Michigan, so don't be surprised to see them pull off some upsets later in the season. Finally, Ball State, a motivated team after falling short of expectations last season, though no luck from the schedule makers, and this will be they have one of the toughest conference road schedules in the conference. The defense lost some key players, which should also lead to another tough season for Ball State. Moving on now to our next conference, which will be a conference that could be led by some talented teams in the Mountain West. Fresno State, San Diego State, San Jose State, Boise State, and Utah State all looking to make a push at the conference title. And this could be a very competitive season in the Mountain West Conference, which has a group of teams. San Jose State is coming off its 6th straight losing season, though won the Mountain West after being picked to finish 5th last year after a comeback in 2021. Utah State's coming off a tough 1-5 campaign where they won the Mountain West after being picked to 5th. And then while the traditional Mountain West powers of Boise State and Fresno State are predicted to win their divisions, in my opinion, they could definitely be surprised based off the last 2 seasons of teams like Nevada and by teams like Air Force. We'll start off in the West Division, led by Fresno State. Return to the league with the best offensive personnel that the Mountain West has probably seen in a long time. Though the trenches are somewhat questionable, the team must adjust to a new coaching staff. Fresno State has the Mountain West's best returning roster and the West Division's big favorite. The defense is always great for San Diego State, who I predict to come 2nd in the Mountain West. And it will be stacked as always, though on the offensive side of the ball, especially at quarterback, could become an issue for the 2nd year in a row. West Virginia transfer Braxton Burmeister is legit, but he has a lot of issues with injuries, and if he goes down, the backup in depth is not there for San Diego State, and it could be a struggle this season. Though do see them without injuries fighting for that conference title. Third in the West, I have San Jose State. They landed some impact transfers such as Elijah Cooks, Chavon Cordero, and Justin Lockhart, though the run game and the offensive line are going to need to improve, along with the secondary, which was below average last year. After winning the title in 2020, San Jose missed a bowl in 2021, though they should return to the postseason this year with the new transfers. Fourth in the West, I have Nevada. Their schedule is manageable, but running backs and secondary are both strong units. First-year coach Ken Wilson inherits a massive rebuild, and a 2022 bowl seems unlikely. Fifth, I have UNLV. UNLV enters with Marcus Arroyo with his third-year head coach. With his recruits finally in place, this could be a do-or-die season for him after going 2-16 in his first two seasons, and a bowl berth will be tough for him now, and he could possibly be on the hot seat going into his fourth year. Sixth place and last in the West, I have Hawaii. Timmy Chang to take over the program, and quarterback Braden Shagger has potential. The Hawaii lost a lot of transfer portal, and the roster lacks strength on the defensive side of the ball. Chang wasn't hired until late January, and inheriting a mess, year one could definitely be a rough year in Hawaii, and they could definitely struggle. Now moving on to the Mountain Division, led by Mountain West's usuals, Boise State. Boise State has an elite Mountain West talent and cohesion in Andy Avalos in his second season. The Broncos' run in offense and defense last year were bad, but help is needed there. Boise State is a team in the Mountain West that could stack up double-digit wins, and with an easier non-conference schedule outside of could give themselves a chance to see a top 25 bid with only one difficult non-conference game, which is at Oregon State, which is a winnable game for the Boise State Broncos. In second in the Mountain West, I have Utah. They return with quarterback Logan Bonner and a top rusher Calvin Tyler from the Mountain West title-winning team last year. So they lost four of their top five tacklers from last season, and the defense could struggle this season. And with games against Boise State, they could definitely have a chance at blowout games there and blowout games against Air Force. Third in the Mountain Division, I have Air Force, which are led by a potent backfield with quarterback Hazeek Daniels and fullback Brad Roberts. Though the Falcons lost some key talent on offense and defense, so the trenches could be a concern. Troy Calhoun has 11 bowl berths in his 14 full seasons and probably count on another one in 2022 with possibly easier games against Navy and Army and Navy. Fourth in the Mountain Division, I got Colorado State. Jay Norvell infused a new roster with transfers, 11 from his old team Nevada in the switch to another Mountain West team. Quarterback position is young and a winning culture must be built from scratch and a tough non-league schedule bounced by a favorable Mountain West slate, a bowl berth is possible. Fifth, I got Wyoming, coached by Craig Bohl, who's always developed good defense, but the offense will take some time, and low-scoring games might be a regular in Wyoming this season. Last place in all of the Mountain West, in my opinion, is New Mexico. Five of their top six tacklers are back for defense, but the offense scored FBS low 12 points per game last season, and they haven't gained any improvements this year, and they look to possibly end the Gonzalez tenure with an unfortunate another season. Now, moving on to our next conference, the Pac-12, another conference out on the West Coast. They got some tough non-conference games to start the season for a conference that struggled in the past few years. Oregon, their favorite, starts the season against Georgia, along with Utah at Florida. Then USC is going to have traveled to Notre Dame this year, and it could be a rough season for the Pac-12 again in the non-conference side. But we'll start in the Pac-12 North, led by Dan Lanning, who takes over a roster stacked with talent and brings championship experience. Kayvon Thibodeau, though, headlines a number of big losses, and the quarterback situation still remains a mystery. The Pac-12's most talented roster and team is likely to be the top of the North, and Oregon will likely make another run at the Pac-12 title game. And if some things go their way, especially with their new coaching staff, and they have the number one recruiting class in the Pac-12, they could definitely have another great season from the Ducks this year, as they predict to come second in the overall Pac-12, led by their new coach, Dan Lanning, who quipped Oregon. It's not his first head coaching gig in college, as he does have some high school experience. The young coach will have his first game of his whole coaching career against his former team, Georgia, the team he was the defensive coordinator for through their national title run last year. It'll be a big test for them, but after that, it should be smooth sailing
through their conference with an easy non-division schedule, as some of those cross-play games should be easier for them. Second in the North, I have Oregon State. They got tough on the lines and experience overall to be a Pac-12 contender. The more of week-to-week consistency is going to be needed, and they could be in a fight for the North title. Washington's defense is promising, and Kalon DeBoer brings in a much-needed offensive energy, though there's just a lack of obvious playmakers, and it could be another long season in Seattle if some things don't go their way. And the season really is going to ride on Indiana transfer Michael Penix Jr., though they could surprise some people in Seattle. Fourth, I have Cal. The defense will likely make Cal competitive again most weeks in the Pac-12, though this offense that lacks consistency and the Golden Bears season will not look much different to last year for them, and probably another middle-of-the-table finish for them. Fifth, I have Stanford. The offensive line is among the Pac-12's best, and the recruiting class is strong, though there's no reason to worry, as Tanner McKee has a kind piece most programs don't. They're uncharacteristically poor over the last 2 years, make it a worrying trend for a team that looks like it could be a mess to end last year, could be a mess coming into this year. Finally, in last place in the Pac-12 North, I have Washington State. They're led by transfer quarterback Cameron Ward, who is promising, and a D-line that could be the best in the Pac-12, though the offense is starting from scratch, including losses of Jaden Delora and Max Borghi, and it could be a long season for them in the Pac-12. Moving to the Pac-12 South, which is headlined by Utah and USC. Utah are perennial overachievers and have the talent to match in all phases of the game, though hiccups against tough early schedules could cause some doom and aspirations as they start off with tough games at Florida in the Swamp, and they also are going to host San Diego State, which is always a tough game. Last year, they lost them in triple overtime, so revenge could be coming from Cameron Rising, who will take over, who will be quarterback once again this year. There are plenty of heartache last year for the Utah program, who lost two of their top players to gunshot deaths, and they could definitely have a more upbringing season this year if they can pick up wins against teams such as USC at home and UCLA on the road, and having to head to Outson Stadium to visit Oregon this year. Rising's 84.2 QBR by ESPN was the highest rating in the conference and sixth in the nation, so quarterback play should not be an issue for the Utes this year, though play on the defensive side of the ball could be a bit of an issue. USC comes in as number two. Lincoln Riley was greeted as a rock star when he arrived to SoCal. He wasted absolutely no time remaking his roster in spring workouts. He let 36 lettermen depart, and he brought in 15 new players, really worked the transfer portal, and looked to bring the Trojans back to the top, though starting the season with Caleb Williams and Brandon Rice and Travis Dice will be all huge for the Trojans, though I still cannot see them passing Utah. They're going to have to go to Utah, and they're going to have to go to UCLA this year, which could be both tough games on the schedule, though they do avoid having to face Oregon and Oregon this year. Next, moving on to my next team in the Pac-12, UCLA. UCLA, led by Coach Chip Kelly at the helm again. This is going to be one of the better UCLA teams in the past few years, with a pretty easy non-conference schedule. A bowl berth should definitely be expected this season, though we'll see how they do in the conference, and we'll see if they can maybe make a run at their conference title game. Moving on to fourth in the Pac-12 South, led by Arizona State. They gathered a lot of NIL collectives to stop the transfer bleeding, though losing a lot of players might become an issue, and Arizona's going to take a large step back after 2021's surprise season. Fifth, I have Arizona, led by Jed Fish and his staff, which has recruited historically well this year, though they'll be very young in the Wildcats, open with an absolutely brutal schedule, so they shouldn't see much considerable improvement after a dismal year in the past few years. Finally, in last place in the Pac-12 South, I have Colorado. The Buffs have an excellent defensive line and have some high-impact transfers, though some considerable roster turnover from the offense of 2021 leaves much to fix for the new Colorado coaching staff. Moving on now from the Pac-12 to the SEC, headlined once again by Alabama, per usual. Nick Saban's brought in another strong recruiting class and will want to be again be led by Bryce Young. But we'll start off in the SEC East. with Georgia, the return defending national champions. Stetson Bennett returns to the offense, and they can't, but losing five first-round draft picks on defense is going to definitely hurt them. Though some great recruiting by head coach Lane, by head coach Kirby Smart, and Georgia looks to make another run at the college football playoff and a run at the title. It'd be unfair to expect this year's defense to equal last year's, though expectations definitely will remain high. And we'll see how Stetson Bennett can do under center this year once again with less quarterback competition with JT Daniels already out the door this year. Moving on now to second in the SEC East, we have Kentucky led by coach Mark Stoops. Kentucky are coming off their second 10-win season in 4 years, and the Wildcats are slowly on the up. They're going to be some good times in Lexington this year as they're going to host Georgia November 19th, which will be a huge game if they want to have a chance to win the SEC East this year. Moving on now to my number three in the SEC East, the Tennessee Volunteers led by second-year head coach Josh Heupel. Last year, Heupel arrived from UCF, and he made the Volunteers very much flip the roster, 45 players out and 45 players in. Last year, they lost in the Music City Bowl 7-6, or lost 7-6 last year in the Music City Bowl in an overtime thriller, which came down to the wire. Last year, Tennessee led the SEC in scoring, though the defense is going to need to find a way to get stops if they want to get wins early against Pitt, Florida, and LSU to come in out of the gates. Next in the SEC East, I have coming in fourth, I have the Florida Gators led by Billy Napier, the new head coach. He's an absolute workaholic in recruiting and brought in a great recruiting class for Florida. The quarterback position, though, is definitely a concern, and the defense fell apart last year as Florida lost five of its last seven and are going to need to find wins against Tennessee and Kentucky to have a chance to fight in the SEC East. Fifth, we have South Carolina, and led by new transfer quarterback from Oklahoma, Spencer Rattler. The Gamecocks, though, still lack some overall depth and lost top running backs and defensive ends to the draft last year, and they're going to need Rattler to play out of his mind to get the Gamecocks to pull off some upsets. Sixth, I have Missouri, led by quarterback Brady Cook. He provided a bowl game spark last year as the Tigers also signed five-star Luther Burden. The loss of running back Tyler Batty, who led the league in rushing last year, is going to hurt the team. Last place, in a distant last place, I have Vanderbilt, who are still in the middle of a huge rebuild. They have two quarterbacks who have the chance to start, Mike Wright and Kenny Seals, though they could definitely have huge losses, and an 0-8 SEC season is likely going to be similar this year. Now moving on to the SEC West, led by Alabama returning quarterback and Heisman Trophy winner Bryce Young, who last year threw for 4,872 yards and 47 touchdowns with only 7 interceptions, but he needs better protection after he was sacked 41 times last year if he wants to avoid injuries. On the defensive side, they have Will Anderson, who's going to be returning again. It will likely be a top draft pick this year. Games hosting Texas A&M will be a huge game this season, and will probably be their most difficult task this year. Second in the SEC West, I have Texas A&M. Jimbo Fisher is going to continue to assemble talent, though they're going to have to win a game in Tuscaloosa this year. And with uncertainty at quarterback, I couldn't see the Aggies pushing the tide to beating the Tide in that showdown in Tuscaloosa on October 18th. Third in the SEC West, I have Arkansas. They won 9 games behind returning quarterback KJ Jefferson and should have another strong running game. Will miss wide receivers and all-around playmakers Tyron Burks, though Hogs should have another great season this year as they tied for third last year in the West and could see some improvement possibly this year. Fourth, I have Ole Miss led by head coach Lane Kiffin, who explored the portal and brought in a new talented quarterback and running back. Matt Corral leaves a big shoes to fill for Jackson Dart and the Rebels. Also lost their top defender, Sam Williams. Fifth, I got LSU. They hired a proven coach in Brian Kelly and brought in a truckload of transfers to fortify the roster. Though departures have hurt the depth and back-to-back mediocre seasons could affect their confidence. Sixth, I have Mississippi State led by quarterback Will Rogers, who threw for 4,739 yards last season as he's mastered the Mike Leach air raid offense. The defense is going to struggle again, and I could see Mississippi State having a struggle this season. Last place in the SEC West this year, I got Auburn. Brian Hassan survived rumor mill, and they were able to bring back Tank Bigsby, who rejected going to the portal. Though Bo Nix leaving for Oregon will leave a huge hole in this Auburn team. Moving on now to what will be our FCS portion, or sorry, the independents, before we get to the FCS. We're going to go through the independents, starting with Notre Dame, led by new head coach Marcus Freeman. He's only had one game so far as head coach in the 37-35 Fiesta Bowl loss. The young coach, 36-year-old, his first time in a head coaching gig, was granted the reins of the program after Brian Kelly abruptly departed for LSU right before the bowl game. Notre Dame's going to have a tough season, possibly, if they can't pull off wins against USC and Ohio State, or wins against either Clemson or Ohio State. That could be a long season in South Bend for the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Next to the BYU Cougars, their last season before joining the Big 12 in 2023, the Cougars pulled off some big upsets this year and expect them to pull off some more big upsets this year with Jaren Hill stepping in at quarterback again, who was the replacement for Zach Wilson last year and had a great season throwing for 2,583 yards and 20 touchdowns in just 7 games at helm. If they can pull off wins against Baylor and Oregon, they could definitely be competing for a chance to go to a New Year's Six Bowl. Next, the Liberty Flames, led by head coach Hugh Freeze. They're going to have to make some adjustments on offense post the Malik Willis era, who's now a Tennessee Titan. Though they have some depth to bring in, as they got Charlie Brewer, the senior quarterback, ready to step in. Next, it's the Army Black Knights, this year led by head coach Jeff Munkin. If they can pull off some upsets against Wake Forest and Air Force, they could definitely have a chance to be playing in a highly competitive bowl game this year against the Power 5 school. Army has another talented, productive season with fullback Jacoby Buchanan coming back again and Tyrell Robinson. The special teams game will be good again, and Army returns with plenty of players who should come back hungry for a second straight 9-win season. Next, we have the UConn Connecticut Huskies, led by new coach Jim Mora. Jim Mora takes over a struggling Huskies team, and the Huskies' depth at running back and wide receiver could be an issue, though they brought in a lot of new players to lead the program, including new quarterback Taquan Robertson. Moving on now to UMass, led by new coach Don Brown. Don Brown's going to come in with to a team which has struggled in the past, though he does have new quarterback Zamar Wise stepping in, the sophomore, for his first season at the helm. And finally, we have the Aggies, who will have their last season as an independent before joining Conference USA in 2023. They look to be probably one of the worst Division I teams this season, and a winless Division I season could be on the cards if they can't pick up wins against some of the smaller teams, such as UMass and Liberty. Moving on now to the FCS, which is studded again by North Dakota State, South Dakota State, and Sam Houston. The third FCS title for the Jackrabbits could definitely be on the cards, as North Dakota State looks to make a push for the FCS title. South Dakota State has looking to make a 10 straight FCS playoff trips, led by phenomenal running back Isaiah Davis. Then we have Sam Houston. The Bearcats were not eligible for a bowl during this FBS transition, though remain one of the top teams in the FCS. There's also Montana State, led by quarterback Tommy Malo, who should be healthy after an injury to his ankle in the title game in last year's loss to North Dakota State. That'll wrap up this episode of Time to Talk with Tyler. Thank you for listening, and goodbye.